for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, July the 5th, 2019, Deborah Bales is the speaker of this service teaching on deliverance from mental bondages.
Well, bless the Lord. It's really good to be here. I am so thankful for what God is doing here. Always, always a blessing to come to camp and to receive from the Lord. Do you love the Lord this afternoon?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this time, and we ask, Father, as we go into your word this afternoon, Father God, that you would come in and bless. We bind the enemy on every side now, and we thank you, Lord, for the liberty that you've given us, Father God. We thank you for just being God all by yourself, and we just ask, Father God, that you minister, that you have your way, Father, whatever you want to do this afternoon in this session, we give it over to you now, and we thank you, Father, for your loving kindness, for your tender mercy. We ask that you minister to every heart, every life, meet every need, Lord God, and we thank you for deliverance, for healing. We thank you for refreshing, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, just for pouring in to our lives, Father. We come to receive from you, and we thank you and we praise you, Father, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about this afternoon deliverance and healing from depression, oppression, and mental bondage. And there was a time in my own life when depression was a big problem. But I'm thankful today that I'm free from depression.
Amen.
And didn't realize for years that I was in that state, but I'm thankful this afternoon. And I want to let you know that there's nothing, and we know there's nothing that the Lord cannot free us from.
Amen.
Because Jesus died so that we may be free. Amen. So I want to start this afternoon, and I heard a little bit of the scripture over in Luke, but I'm going to go to Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4, if you have your Bibles. I'm going to read the theme scripture from there. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. The scripture says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." You know, as I read this scripture, I'm so thankful that God really wants his people totally restored. Amen. He doesn't just want you halfway built or halfway free. He wants us totally free. Praise the Lord. So when I look at this particular scripture, I'm just going to pull out just a few points right here. When you talk about beauty for ashes, and when I was reading this, I asked the Lord, well, what is that ashes? What does that really represent? And you know that when I think of ashes, I think of, you know, death. I think of, you know, when you cremate someone, the ashes are there. So something that's gone, it's just dead, it's no life. But God wants to give you beauty. I think about when someone dies, for example, it's a sad time. But it's also a good time. Because it's a time you can remember. So there's some beauty that can even come out of death. Okay? So I'm learning, Brother Randy, to not look so negative at things when things happen.
Amen.
Okay? Because if the Lord allows, say, death, and he does, because he's sovereign, there's something good that's going to come out of that.
Yes.
Come on now. Something good will come out of even death. Beauty. Okay? Number two, oil of joy for mourning. Now, mourning represents grief. And God doesn't want us to stay in grief. You know, there are times when, you know, you may go through a period of grief, a period of mourning, but it's a period. It should not go on and on and on. And we're talking about deliverance and healing from depression, oppression, and mental bondage. So if you find that you've gone through or are going through grief and it's gone past 30 days, 40 days, that's getting too much. Amen. Too much. You know, well, what do you mean my mom died? What do you mean 30 days? Just that? Because if anything in excess can weigh you down. And the Lord doesn't want you to be weighed down. It could be a loss of a job. You know, some people get really in trouble because they lose something and they can't recover. But God wants us to recover. He doesn't want us to stay in bondage. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So he will take one garment, give you another. And I just testified that, you know, I was at one time bound by depression. But I have learned that praise will lift me up.
Amen.
Amen. Praise will take you to a place of freedom and liberty because he does not want us in bondage. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God may be glorified. And I am also learning that in any and everything that we go through, God will be glorified. You know, when you listen to people's testimonies of different things that they've come through, it will lift you up. It will bring encouragement because there's something in that is a message in it for you and I. I love to hear testimonies. And a lot of times we don't really hear people testify. But I remember as a child when people would get up and testify, Jerry, it was a blessing because you could see right where they were. You could see what God did for them, and it really will put faith in your heart. So it's good for us to testify to give God glory. Now, I want to give you some definitions. Number one, depression. It's a condition of emotional dejection and withdrawal. Depression will cause you to withdraw, cause you to go into an isolated place. It'll cause you sometimes to even think that, well, I'm better off being aloof or being by myself. And that's not always the case. So it causes you to withdraw. Sadness greater and more prolonged than that's warranted by an objective reason. It also means to be sad, to be despondent, an inability to concentrate, to have feelings of hopelessness. Okay? Oppression is the feeling of being heavily burdened, mentally or physically, by troubles, adverse conditions, and anxiety. It means to keep down by unjust use of force or authority. So to be oppressed means to be pretty much weighed down by force. Okay? And then bondage means to be enslaved, to come under servitude, to be in subjection against your will, to be yoked or to be put in chains, shackles, fetters, and held captive against your will. All right? We know Jesus has come to set us free. And when he came on the scene, he clearly knew what God had called him to do. When Jesus stood up and he read from the scripture that we just read, it was after he had been in the wilderness for 40 days, and he came back out of the wilderness full of the power of the Holy Ghost. He knew that it was time for him to proclaim the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord comes to bring deliverance and freedom, but it is up to us to receive what Jesus has already done for us. Okay? The word of the Lord comes to shed light on what Jesus has done so that we may walk free in him. Accepting the fact that Jesus paid a price that you or I could not pay is the first step toward freedom. Just accepting the fact that he did it for me, and all I have to do is receive it. Okay. So the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, was on him, meaning God's approval and his ordination was on his life. And once the Lord was given that green light to go forth, he began to proclaim the word of the Lord. You know, John the Baptist did what he did. He was a forerunner of Jesus. But when Jesus came on the scene and he stood in the temple that day and he declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," that set a release that something is about to happen good for you if you receive it. And every time we gather, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is with us to do something good in our lives. But we have to receive it. And we must be open to it. So when the Lord brings, for example, sometimes he must bring correction, but it's based on the word of God. In order that conviction and repentance takes place, we must be reminded of things. Sometimes things that we don't really want to be reminded of. But if the Lord wants to bring freedom, he has to convict us. Come on, he'll convict us. He'll tell us when we're doing something wrong, and it's because of his love for us. All right? Or if we come into the knowledge of maybe something that may be hindering our life that we're not aware of, again, it's because the Lord wants us to be free. Okay? So we know that the Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus. Number two, he was called to preach the gospel. And we know the gospel is good news. He was called to preach to those who were destitute for the word of God or considered poor. Now that poor is not by means. It just simply means we need the word. How many of you know we need God's word?
Amen.
Yeah, we're hearing a lot of things in the earth realm, but is it God's word? And I'm learning that one of the things the Lord's been dealing with me on all year is the importance of reading the Bible. Simply reading it and making sure that I take it in every day. And sometimes, you know, I take a poll and I'll ask people, "Have you read your Bible today?" And, you know, they get this little sheepish little grin on their face, like, you know, "No." "Well, when was the last time you read?" "Well, maybe a few days ago." Beloved, I want to encourage you, read the Bible every day. Take it in because it will help you, help bring change in your life. Okay? Jesus came for us all in order that we may have a right to the tree of life. The word of God is life. It's life. The word of God is light to show us the way to eternal life. I'm also finding out, and this is something I used to hear when I was a kid, when I was a child, there's an answer for everything you need. Right here.
Amen.
And I just think, nah, that can't be true. It's true. It's true. It really is. You know, Jerry, forgive me, but I do reference you a lot. Because Jerry quotes scriptures and I'm going, where did she get that? She got it from here. And my friend Randy gave me another clue yesterday. I don't know if he realized it when he talked about Proverbs. You want to know how to live? Read the book of Proverbs. It will teach you how to live the God kind of life. And you'll come out in victory. Just think about it. You know, just think about, well, Lord, I need you more. Get in God's word. So many things coming to my mind, you know. Jerry talked about Benny Hinn. Well, I have to confess that in the late 80s, I guess it was, we began to hear about Benny Hinn. I didn't know that I liked Benny Hinn. And he didn't do anything wrong. He really didn't. I just didn't know that I liked him. But my husband loved him. My husband was a man of the word. And now I look back on that, I could have been further along had I listened and just gleaned. Sometimes we miss things because we don't pay attention. We judge and we're critical. And we have to repent of that. Because look what God's doing now. Oh my God, help me, Jesus. Those very songs, Jerry, that I used to listen to, and my husband used to have them playing and everything. Now, I put those songs on. Jerry told me. She said, listen to this. And I began to listen to them. And I said, Lord, please forgive me. Because I judged him wrong. Sometimes we judge people by the way they act, by the way we think that they're, you know, so charisma or whatever you want to call it, not realizing that it really is the anointing of God. And God has to bring us back full circle to let us know that it's the simple things that we need. It's not always the deep prophetic, and I love prophetic ministry, don't get me wrong, but I want to take you back to the basics. Is that all right? And you really want to stay free, you need to get to the basics. You need to get back to real salvation. We need to get back to real salvation. We need to live a repentant life, and we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. My God, today, we need him. And that's what that man of God has been preaching for over 20-some, 30-some years. He's been preaching Jesus. And we've overlooked it. Yes, ma'am.
Tell me something's happened to him the last 2 years, and I believe that since his divorce and his marriage is
saying, yes, it's true.
The last 3 or 4 years has happened.
Yes, very true. He had an encounter with God, and the Lord visited him and told him, Benny, don't mess up. And God is saying that to us. Don't mess up. Come on. It's not in the hype, y'all. You know, a lot of people are hyped up. And I'm not here to criticize anyone. But what I am here to tell you, this word, even today, is simple. I don't have the long, you know, formal words for you. What I have for you is very basic, but it's deep, because if you take it in, the Lord will come in and he will minister to you. What we've tried to do, Jane, is we've tried to be the Holy Ghost, and we're not the Holy Ghost. I cannot save you. I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. But what I must do is I must be a good example for you to follow, because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We must be good examples. And I believe now in this man of God season where he is, he's telling us, get real with God. Get rid of the fluff. And get real. Get to know Jesus for real. And my late husband used to preach that. And the Lord then brought it full circle. So you know what? I'm not going to miss it. And I don't want you to miss it either. So Jesus was called to preach the gospel to those that were open to receive. And that's what it means to be poor, to be broken in spirit, to be open like an alabaster box. And when you're open, guess what? That's poison will go out. Yeah. But that you need can come in. The Word of God is life. The Word of God is light to show us the way to eternal life. Number three, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted are those who have broken lives. I've been broken before. But thanks be to God, he's healing. And he will continue to heal. He'll heal you as well. Broken dreams. Those who have been downtrodden by sin and the negative effects of the world. Jesus came to heal wounds and hurts that no one can see. So we must be willing to let go of the things that have held us captive. You got to let it go. You got to get to a point where you realize it's not worth holding on to, not one more day. You must be willing to come out of the cage. Jesus has come to heal you and put your life back together so that you can go forward in the strength and might of the Lord. You cannot go forward holding on to that that's back there. You've got to be willing to let it go. Number four, Jesus came to preach deliverance to the captives. Many people are held captive by their words or by other words. Okay? Many are held up by fear and torment. Fear will hinder the move of God in your life. Fear will keep you in a place of captivity. It is important to accept what Jesus has done for you and allow him to free the areas in your lives that have been held captive by the enemy. We're talking about depression, oppression, and mental bondage specifically. Now, when I came up, it wasn't popular to hear that someone was depressed because they would think that they needed to be put in a mental institution. And that's not always the case. Come on. All right, so sometimes people don't want to say, well, I'm a little depressed. I don't want to say that. But if you are, admit it. How many of you know we talked to the children today, and one of the things I told them is that if you want to be free, you must be honest. You must be honest about where you are. Because if you're honest, then the Lord can help you. Okay, we don't need to know all that's going on in your life, but if you're just open and honest, then the Lord will do the rest. He knows what to do. All right? You know, recently we had gotten this negative report, and it was just that. It was a negative report, and it was a report to try to bring fear in my life. And I refused to believe it. I refused to accept it. All right? And when you refuse to accept that the enemy is trying to say, then you need to get over on what God says. If God has given you a promise that you're going to, I'll just use this, preach the gospel, and then you get a negative report about your physical body, wait a minute. Well, God, why did you tell me that if I'm not even going to be able to do it? Somebody's not telling the truth. Now, that's how I talk to the Lord. All right? I've been tested with my eyes. And I said, wait a minute. I have too much writing to do. So, somebody's wrong, and it's not God.
That's right.
Come on.
That's good.
Now, I have to be real with you all. I mean, this thing really has kind of tried to rattle me. So much so today, I was seeing lights and these flickering things. And I'm going, wait a minute. Lord, I can't have these flickering things in my eyes because I've got too much to do for you. I've got to drive my car. I've got to preach the gospel. I have to write lessons. I have to teach. I have to get on a morning nap. Come on now. I don't have time for this. Every time the enemy tries to tell me, you're not going to be able to do what you think. Yes, I will. Because I know who I'm serving. The Lord never said the test wouldn't come your way. But he did say, with every test, he'll give you a way out. My God, y'all hear me today. I'm talking about the Word of God. Yeah, because I've been tested in my health. I've been tested in this area. But I come to tell you today that thing that's holding on to you, to try to keep you down, keep you depressed, I keep talking in your ear. You need to rebuke the enemy. You do it with the word. And if you know that you're living right, you have a right to say, no, I don't receive that. Okay. Jesus came to recover the sight of the blind. The Lord spoke to me earlier, Jerry, because they say that I'm in the beginning stages of cataracts, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, remember what I did for Paul? I said, yeah. He said he had scales on his eyes. I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to remove those scales off of your eyes. So I said, okay, so you're going to just cause them to fall out of my eyes, right, so that I can see. I talked to the Lord this way. Come on. I said, Lord, if there's any sin in my life that has caused these scars, this calcium, to get in my eyes, I need you to tell me so that I can get rid of it. You've got to face your issues. You got to face those people that have hurt you. I like it when it's quiet.
You've got to face it. I have had to face some things. People that did me wrong. Just last week, I had to face somebody. And it came unexpected. I won't tell you the whole story, but just to say this, I had to talk to somebody on the phone. And as I talked to this person on the phone, my heart went out of compassion because the person had been bitten by a snake and their leg was swollen. And I said, well, I will pray for you. I got off the phone. I said, well, Mark, why did this person get bitten by a snake? And they're in a city and there are no snakes there in the area. I know there are no snakes. The Lord said, yeah, the person got bit by a snake. True enough. But it was because of judgment. Will you pray for them? I said, yes, I will. But what the Lord showed me, Jerry, is my heart had been healed. Now, with every test, you got to be, to go to the next level, you've got to go through a final. You got to go through a final to see if you're ready to go to the next grade. And that test came out of nowhere. But I thank God, Brother Merle, that we have to love no matter what people do to us. Come on. And then you have a right to claim your healing. You have a right, sis. You have a right. And I see the Lord pulling you out. He's pulling you out. He's going to continue to pull you out of all the hurt and all the things that others have done to you. And I hear the Lord saying, it's to no fault of yours. It's not your fault. Some of the things that have happened to you, it's happened just because of the anointing on your life. Nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. But I want to tell you, Jesus is working it out for you. Because he loves you. And he is concerned, dear, about you. And all that heaviness, all that weightiness is lifting off of you. And the Lord is taking it away. In Jesus' name. Can we praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's okay. It's okay. You see, healing is wonderful. You know when you're healed of something. You know it. You know when you're challenged if you've really gone through. And I believe that this is what deliverance is all about. It's not to keep you bound. It's to let you know that you really can be free. Hallelujah. We told the young people, Jesus wants you free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Right? So I've already talked to you about Paul a little bit, you know, the scales falling off his eyes, and that's what's happening to me. And I know when I go back to the doctor, there will be no cataract, nothing in my eyes, nothing, not a trace. I believe that, and I know it. It's not something that I know up here. I know in my heart because of what the Lord told me. So I thank him for that. But I also thank God for the other testimonies and other things that people go through because God will set a pace for us to follow. And sometimes we can make it a lot easier on ourselves if we just follow others' examples. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You know we have a general in our midst. Jerry is a general, and I'm not trying to boost her, so I pray she don't take it like that. But I do honor the anointing on her life. She's been in this a whole lot longer than me. I'm just a little baby here. But I'm willing to learn. How many of you are willing to learn? We all should be willing to learn. Like Randy said, when they first started coming, you know, you never know where you're headed. But you must let God make you. If you don't let him make you, how will you get there? Come on. If you never open your mouth and say and speak for God or sing for the Lord or whatever the Lord wants you to do, how will you get where God wants you to go? You must be willing to open up and God, whatever you want to do in my life, I'm willing. You just say yes. All right. Let me keep going. You know, the anointing is so here today. Thank you, Lord. Now, you know, when Paul got healed, I believe that in his case, he was spiritually blinded because, you know, he had a good heart. But he kind of went about things the wrong way. So the Lord had to knock him off the horse, get him straight. It only took 3 days. That's not bad, is it? Sometimes it takes us about 20, 30 years, you know. Anyway, don't let it take that long for you to get what you need. Come on. Took him 3 days, and that 3 days transformed his life. So some of you that have held up your progress, stop holding up your progress. Get in there, and let's run for Jesus so we can complete the race. Amen? Number six, Jesus came to liberate those who are bruised. Bruises often cannot be seen with the naked eye, but they can be felt. They're hidden. Nobody can see the bleeding that may be taking place in your heart, but the Lord sees it. So when your spirit is bruised, it is the potential to bring you into bondage because of the pain that it causes. Depression, oppression, and mental bondage has the potential to keep you in a bruised state. Jesus liberates you from the words that once hindered you as you allow him to walk you through forgiveness. Being able to release those who have offended you and staying out of offense will keep you free. And one of the things that is very, very important is that you not get offended. Don't wear your feelings on your shoulders. Be where you can be corrected. There's some people that can't. They can't take correction, can't take instruction, can't take any of that. But we must be able to stand there and take the instruction. I think Jerry mentioned it was about in Hebrews. If you're going to be a son and not a bastard child, you must be disciplined. I know for me sometimes, Brother Merle, it's pretty tough. The Lord is tough on me. He's tough on me. I appreciate it. I need it. Come on, he knows what it takes to keep you corralled. You know, where some people can read one chapter a day, I have to read 5 and 6. I'm like, how come I read all that? Because it's a different track. Every one of us are on different tracks. Come on. So, you know, I appreciate all that God has given me to do. It keeps me in the face of the Lord. And that's what we need to stay in his face, worshiping him and in his presence, receiving from him every day. So let's talk a little bit about mental bondage. Let's let go of it. Okay? Number one, the enemy will attempt to keep your mind bound. Your conscious mind is open to day-to-day demonic mind games and all kinds of ungodly environments. So don't put yourself in an arena where your mind is in the wrong environment. What does that mean? Don't watch the things you shouldn't watch. Don't listen to things that you shouldn't listen to. Be careful, because the enemy will use that against you. You must take spiritual authority over what the mind engages in and meditates on. So think about what you're thinking about. What are you meditating on? Is it healthy? Is it good for you? Can you tell someone else about it? On and on. Just ask yourself these questions. Why am I thinking this way? Would Jesus think this way? Okay. Subconscious mind stores long-term information that is holy or unholy. So is your mind vain? Is it empty? Yeah, that's another thing. Vain imaginations, fantasies, demonic impressions, lyrics. What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you setting before your eyes? Yeah, I can do what I want. Okay. That's true. But then when it comes time for you to pull out what you put in, is it healthy? Can you talk about it? Will it help the next person? Because what you believe me, what you take in your eyes, hey, it's going in there. It's like a recorder. And you know that thing will come back at the wrong time. I'm like, I ain't want that memory. Oh, okay, you put it in there. I didn't put it in there. You did. It's true. You know, when people listen to crazy music, I'm thinking, whoa, why are you listening to that? Yeah. Well, bless the Lord, I like jazz, but he's what we say. What is that? Okay, anyway, I won't go there today. I'll be nice, but it's true. We shouldn't be listening to all this stuff. You know, my kids laugh at me because I don't know the names of the people, you know, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I don't know. I really don't, so I say things that, you know, Mom, that's not the name of that group. I don't care. I'm trying to make a point. You know, like I think they have this group called 50 Cent or something. You know, and I said, well, it's 25 Cent or whatever. And no, Mom. Well, no, we don't want that. Okay, 50 Cent, what's that? Anyway, all right. Yeah. So you can tell I don't listen to it. But that don't mean I didn't have to be delivered. Right? We all have to be delivered. Okay? That don't mean that we're of the elite. The devil still will come in your dreams. Come on. Negative memory replay. That's where the devil brings up past failures over and over again, giving you no rest in your mind. And then what about double-mindedness? And doubt. The mind does not rest for indecision and confusion. Okay? This is how he plays on our mind. Dreams and nightmares. Satanic harassment program in the dream realm or unprotected mind at night. Now that's why we have to keep covered. You gotta stay under the blood. The blood of Jesus. I think the scripture talks about in Isaiah 26:3 that he'll keep your mind in perfect peace. That's complete peace. That ain't halfway. That ain't sometime. That's all the time. Now, let me just tell you how I handle this at night, because my sleep is important. All right? Now, I go through a lot of things, sometimes all day. Do a lot of warfare. Okay? That's part of the program. But when it's ready for me to go to sleep, it's time to sleep. So if the enemy thinks he's going to play me at night, Now I've had to come up out of my sleep fighting. But believe you me, mess with me in my sleep. No, I'm serious. I don't play about my sleep now. Because I've been there. Where I've been up all night long, my God, I love you tonight. Where I couldn't sleep, bags under my eyes, I would have to wait until I was so tired to fall asleep because of fear. But God delivered me from that. And he let me know, Deb, I give my beloved sleep. And when you lay down, your sleep should be sweet. When I got the revelation of that, I said, time to take it back. Can't play with my mind no more. One night, I was asleep. The devil decided to walk up in my room. And I come up out of my bed swinging. And I saw the spirit that was standing there, and I knew where it came from. Don't play with me. Now, I'm serious, y'all. The spiritual realm is real. Okay? Play with a demon if you want to. Okay? No, I'm a warrior. And he taught me the importance of fighting. I want to try to pass that on to you. That if you're having trouble sleeping, resting, the enemy's constantly playing you, taking your rest, do you realize that if you don't get enough sleep and rest, it can affect your physical body? You can become sick because you don't have enough sleep. You don't have time for that. So I tell you what. I can tell you who won. Me. I'm not trying to be funny, y'all, but I hope you hear the passion in my heart. I'm serious. No, the devil will not take my sleep. Because some nights I only get maybe 2 or 3 hours anyway. And I have to get up. So you think I'm going to let the devil steal what sleep I do? No. We're not going there. Now, you need to take back your territory. Some of you are allowing the devil to play you. Okay? some people that the devil uses through witchcraft, for example. You need to take authority over those witches. And you need to bind them, gag them, chain them, muzzle them, and forbid them from operating in your life, over your life, over your family, over your material, whatever it is, you have that authority. You got to take it. A witch is just used by the devil. Y'all do know that, right? A warlock, too. They're used by the enemy. Okay? But we're on God's side. And I think the Bible says in Luke 10:19, he gives us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Okay? So when we're walking right, again, we have a right to take authority. Okay? So the final thing, mind-altering drug use. You must pray over all medicines before taking them. There's some medicines that they've given me that I don't take. I just don't do it. Because it has the potential to put you in a state where you slow down, you can't drive, on and on. And it's called sorcery. So I just don't do it. You must renounce and repent of all illegal drug use. And the Lord, when I was studying this, he said, tell them some legal drug use. You must repent. But just because you've been given a prescription, well, the doctor gave me that. Okay, I'm not trying to talk against the doctor, okay? Let me, so that I don't get sued and all this stuff here. We don't want Merle to get letters wrong. And so let me just qualify. I ain't telling you not to take your medicine. You do whatever you feel you got to do. But understand, when you even take some of that stuff legally, it is putting you in a state of mind that you may not be able to be used by God effectively. But I'll leave it at that. All right. All right. Let go of mental bondage. False teachings. Renounce any teaching contrary to the Word of God. Renounce false beliefs and false religions. Generational curses. Bloodline curses that affect the mind and thought patterns or hereditary mental illness. You see, there was a time in my life when I really did not have the faith that I have now because I didn't believe God. I can tell you about me. I served God. I loved God. Yes, I did and still do, but I didn't believe God, right? Not really from the Bible. How many of you really believe the Bible? You don't have to, don't, you know, I ain't going to look at you. Don't, you ain't got to lift your hands. Okay? But when you really begin to walk this word, your life is going to change. Your speech will change. Your behavior will change. Your attitude will change. Okay? So we'll know what you believe. All right. Pornography and lust. These opens the door to perversion. Okay. Also opens the door to lasciviousness and lust and things of that nature that you don't want in your life. Occult involvement is the use of occult practices that's forbidden by scripture, and they open the mind up to demons and heavy oppression. So if you've been in that arena and you haven't repented, I encourage you to repent and close those doors. The same with hypnosis. Mind-altering practices affect the mind, and they open you up for demons to enter in as well. Final thing here, imaginary friends. These are demons in the form of spirit guides, and they try to make Christians think that they're the Holy Ghost. And that's a whole big topic right there. I wish I had time to talk about it. Because some adults have imaginary friends, and they're not angels. It's not God. It's not the Holy Ghost. They're demons. You must be careful. All right, so how do we pull down ungodly thoughts? I'm going to give you 7 ways to pull down ungodly thoughts. Number one, search your heart and discern, where did the thought come from? Does it build you up or tear you down? Is the thought over you or in you? Repent and submit your mind to the Lord and begin to fight. So you must search your heart. Number two, pray and bind up evil thoughts. Okay? You know, a lot of times people want others to pray for them, but they don't pray for themselves. But Jerry, I'm learning, I have to pray for myself. I can't always call, you know, Boo Boo and May May. I can't always call them. They may not answer the phone. I got to know how to pray for myself. You resist the thought and refuse to entertain them. Number three, replace the thought with the Word of God. Now, the best weapon you can have is God's Word. Now, in order to have His Word, you've got to read it. You've got to take it in every day. Recite and declare scriptures to break down the lies of the enemy. You know, I was reading this past week about Smith Wigglesworth. And there's a lot of books over there about him. He really was a man of faith, but he really loved the Lord and he really loved the Word. And it was told that he would read the Word and pray every 30 minutes or so. And he constantly read the Word of God. And I'm thinking, how did he do that? That's the kind of man he was. We need God's Word. That's all I'm going to say. Got to have it. All right? Okay, so number four, use reverse psychology on the enemy and purposely think the opposite of what the enemy has released to you. Now, I'll talk about my eyes. And there have been other things that the enemy said to me because of family, hereditary things, or whatever you call those things. He said, you're going to be where your knees are going to have the knee replacement. I said, no, I'm not going to have a knee replacement. Or you're going to be having the blood clots because your mom and your family, your sister had the blood clots. No, I'm not going to have blood clots. You're going to have the arthritic condition your mother had. No, I am not going to have those conditions. I stand here to tell you that they checked my knees, checked all this stuff, and I don't have none of that stuff. But what if I'd have believed it? I'd be in trouble right now. So let me just go to the scripture, because I think that's better to talk about. Philippians 4:8. It says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Do you have your belt of truth on your waist? That is one of the part of the armor, is that the belt of truth is around your waist. If you don't know what the truth is, I encourage you to get it. The Word of God will give it to you. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. That's why we don't gossip. Gossip ain't sending out a good report. Whose report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. If there be any virtue, any strength, any encouragement, think on, and any praise, think on these things. I choose to think on the Word of God. I choose to believe His Word. Not only believe it, I choose to walk in it. Yesterday, there was a situation that happened, and I was trying to encourage this person, and I turned them to the Word, and the more I did, the angrier they got. Finally, they said, well, I'm just not going to say nothing else. I said, okay. But all I was doing was encouraging you in the Word of God. Fight with the Word. That's all I got. I'm not going to give you my opinion. Zeddy, if you come to me with a situation, I'm going to give you the Word of God. My opinion cannot help you. What I think doesn't matter. But what matters is what God says. If we do that, we'll find victory. We'll walk in it, okay? Number five, if the enemy fights you, pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. He can't fight that. First of all, it's going to confuse him. You want the enemy's camp confused? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit until the enemy's power weakens and it's totally broken. You know, a lot of times we go to places and have to preach, and sometimes it's the atmosphere is really kind of tough. We'll begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. We'll pray in the Spirit. And then I ask the Lord, Lord, how do I pray? Because I don't know. You know what's going on here. But when you begin to give over to the Spirit of God, the Lord knows exactly what's needed, and he knows how to bust up the territory. Okay? Pray in the Spirit. If you're dealing with a child that's rebellious, family member, maybe rebellious, whoever it is, pray in the Holy Ghost. And then ask God, Lord, you give me how to pray because I don't know how. Sometimes you just be honest. And you spend time in God's presence, believe you me, when you come out of there, you have his aroma. You smell like him, look like him, act like him, glow like him. Come on. Come on, somebody. And you'll have the mind of God. That's why Moses glowed so. He was in God's presence. That's where we got to live. All right? Pray in tongues. Number six, apply the blood of Jesus to your mind, your thoughts. Declare the power of the blood that washes your mind, and the blood of Jesus brings every demonic thought captive. Nail it to the cross. Give it over to Jesus. If you know that you're thinking wrong, give it to God. And if you have to pray through this old term that we don't hear no more, you know, about getting to the altar and praying until you're done. Pray through. Pray until you get a release. And if that thing is about you, stay there. You stay right there until you know you and the Lord, you've dealt with it, he's dealt with you, you've given it over to him, you have freedom, then you can get up and go on. Now I'm learning to get back to that. Pray through. Seven, worship and begin to praise the Lord. Praise his name and declare you have the mind of Christ. You know, I keep my atmosphere in my home, Brother Merle. I mean, anybody that knows me know I'm very picky about my atmosphere. I don't have junk and mess going on. I don't live that way. No, peace belongs to me. Chaos has to stay away. Confusion, go. Come on. Every evil work follows that. I don't need that in my home. And when I go to hotels, I pray before I lay my head down. I anoint the room. I don't know who's been in there. Come on, somebody. Oh, I set a perimeter. The blood of Jesus. The Lord is now here. Whatever went on in this room, get out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And when I leave, Father, whoever comes in here, save them if they're not saved. Deliver them, heal them, set them free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. I live this way. Everywhere I go, I believe somebody should get saved. Everywhere I go, I believe somebody should get healed. Come on now. Why? Because I carry Jesus in my life. Amen. Should make a difference everywhere you go. Glory to God. Tear down the enemy's walls. Tear them down. Take authority. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't really realize what we have and the threat that we are.
Amen.
I've gone places and I've heard the enemy say, oh no, there she is. You're right. I'm not trying to be funny. Yeah, you should be a threat. So we're going to praise his name. Declare that you have the mind of Christ. All right? You must use this process over and over again to reject and cast down vain thoughts, imaginations, and torments of the enemy. I'm talking about praise and worship. Hallelujah. All right. And you want to build a hedge to guard your mind. Number one, daily build a hedge by spending time with the Lord. Okay? Give God a special place each day. Now, this is very important. I don't care if it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. Every day you should have a set time. It's just you and God. That's not your prayer partner. That's not husband or wife. That's you and God. Every day. Don't hit and miss. Because your spiritual life can't afford to. You don't miss meals much, do you? You don't miss meals, come on. Unless you're fasting and praying, and then you're not missing the meal. You're giving that time over to God. Amen. And he's pouring into you another way. Amen. I know y'all do fast and pray, right? Amen. Okay, so she said amen. So she fasts and prays. I'm talking about not the Daniel fast. That's not a fast anyway. That's a diet. I'm going to talk about Daniel. Daniel went on a diet. That was not a fast. Read the scripture. It's not a fast. That's a diet. Okay? Hello? So, you know, you're going on a 7-day fast and you say, oh, I'm fasting. Oh, really? You just water, right? Oh, no, Daniel. No, you're not fasting, baby. That's a diet. Okay, anyway. It's in the scripture. I read it. When the Lord really showed it to me, I said, they're going to be mad with me. Because we had to change the way we fasted. Hello, y'all know y'all better fast and pray. Okay, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm not here to pick on you on that, okay? Amen. All right. You want to spend time with God every day. Pay attention to his instructions. Because he will give you instructions. He's waiting on you every day. He waits in that spot. He does. If it's your car, if it's your office, if it's a certain place in your home, he waits.
That's right, he does.
Okay. Yeah, he has a lot to tell you. Hope you're listening. Number two, do not change yourselves to be like the people of the world. But be changed by the renewing of your mind. Don't follow fads and all that stuff. You know. I learned a long time ago how I don't fit, so don't try to do it. Anyway, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay? Purity builds a hedge. Can I encourage you to keep your heart pure? Keep your heart pure. All right? Don't let the enemy contaminate you. Number three. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So you must build a hedge with your tongues or by praying in the Spirit. Be careful. Pray in the Holy Ghost. But don't defile your body by speaking things you shouldn't speak. All right? We must use our bodies as instruments of righteousness in order to build a hedge for our bodies. Not fornication, not evil acts, not doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Okay? Take care of your body. Eat right, exercise, get proper rest. Be careful what you speak over your body. Be careful, okay? All right. And then your emotions. Build a hedge about your emotions. What does this mean? Emotions are from the Lord, and they do involve your feelings. I like what Jerry, the illustration she gave about the spirit and the, I think, the breaches.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things start in your emotions. And I believe that's what she was pointing to, am I right? Coming all the way out by the time you get to the physical body, you got sickness because it started in there and you didn't take care of it.
Yes.
If you catch it there, it won't come out. That's why forgiveness, we talk to the young people about forgiving. If you can forgive quickly, you won't have a problem. even if you sustain a wound, but if you forgive right there, God can heal. He'll heal from the inside out. And that thing won't come out. Okay? Because God will take care of it. Right? So the seat of your emotion is in the center of the human brain. Your emotions, some 500 or more, must have protection against wrong signals and wrong behavior. You cannot operate just on how you feel. Okay? God is a God of emotions, and we know that, and can feel what you go through. The Bible gives us authority over emotions. We must keep them in balance. And how do we do that? 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. Guard your thought life. Pray and worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to add one more thing. How many of you laugh every day? I do. I've learned to laugh. Right? Sometimes it gets me in trouble, doesn't it, Zeddy? I'm on the line and I'm cracking up about something. And I'm looking at these faces and there ain't nobody laughing but me. That's okay. Because laughter does like medicine. Yeah, it goes down deep. Because it must be an area that I need to be healed in and I may not be aware of. But Father, if you're healing me, do it. I need to laugh. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's a wonderful way to stay emotionally sound and to build a hedge. You must guard against depression and emotions that are self-destructive. All right? Had a family member that was very depressed and hardly ever smiled. Very sad. You try to say something that was a little comical and they just didn't move. And then when I really realized what the problem was, I understood. But then I began to pray, Lord, please bring healing to that person because they need to be healed. And sometimes, you know, let me say this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I remember there was a time, Kim, when I couldn't even cry. There were no tears. And I asked the Lord, give me my tears back. And he did. I went to a conference. And the woman of God began to speak. And all of a sudden, I began to cry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. When you whisper to God, that you need, God will answer your prayer. He's good like that. So when I cry, I appreciate it because I remember the day, remember the time when I couldn't cry. But he will give you that to release, because tears brings a release as well. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, his buddy. He cried. He had emotions like we do. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmity. That's why he understands us better than anybody else. So there's nothing that you cannot take to him that he will not be able to understand and decipher or decode, if that's the case. God is a good God. He's worthy to be praised. So we must put a hedge about our words. Life and death, or death and life, are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Words have power to build up or tear down. As believers, we must guard our words and let our words be few at times. James 1:19, it teaches us that we can build a strong hedge if we're slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to get angry. We must make sure our words are seasoned with salt and that our words are wise and few. We must speak words of edification, which will build the hedge of protection. We build the hedge of words when we pray, prophesy, preach, praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. We build a hedge around our words when our words become the word of the Lord. Our words must be full of faith, life, and truth. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give you some scriptures, and I'll just read these real quick, okay? I got them all right here. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is what God thinks of us. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, he told Joshua, shall not depart of your mouth, out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall deal wisely and have good success. James 1:5, it says this, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. Thank you, Jesus. What about, we gave you this, I'll just quote it again, Philippians 4:7-8. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, let me just say something about peace. Because oftentimes, the enemy will come to steal your peace. And God said, no. He don't want you to have anxiety. He don't want you to be in worry. And he don't want you to be in fear. Okay? So that means that, Lord, this is how I pray, because I struggled with that for some time. Right? So, Lord, I thank you for your peace. I thank you, Lord, that you told me not to worry, not to have any anxiety. I thank you, Lord, for a calm mind, a repose mind, a set mind. I thank you, Lord, that my mind is stayed on you in the name of Jesus. And finally, whatever thing is true, God, I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Lord, for honest things. I thank you for just things. I thank you for things that are pure. I thank you for the good report. And God, I thank you for virtue and praise. I'm thinking on these things. I pray that way. Romans 8:6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Ephesians 4:23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then 2 Timothy 1:7. This is one of my favorite scriptures. God, I thank you. You didn't give me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Finally, this is what you must do. I pray that you will develop a stayed mind, a willing mind, according to 1 Chronicles 28:9, a set mind, according to Ezekiel 24:25. I pray that you will have a changed mind, according to Habakkuk 1:11. I pray that God gives you a pure mind, according to 1 Peter 3:1. And I pray for a renewed mind, according to Ephesians 4:23. A sober mind, according to Titus 2:6. A spiritual mind, according to Romans 8:6. A wise mind, according to Revelation 17:9. And we thank God for a right mind, according to Mark 5:15. And finally, God, we need a persuaded mind, according to Romans 14:15. When we do these things, God will keep us in perfect peace. So do not give your mind over to the enemy. Not one more day. Call on God and ask God to give you freedom and liberty. Hallelujah. I pray that the word of the Lord will resonate in your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want to close with a prayer. Hallelujah. Just want to pray. And I'm going to pray a deliverance prayer, if that's all right. Mass deliverance, is that okay? We want to bind the devil and rebuke and cast out all depression, all oppression, and all bondage in the name of Jesus. If you could just stand, and I'm just going to pray and decree the word of the Lord. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is right all by itself. We thank you, Lord God, that you, oh God, has given us liberty. You called us into liberty over depression, over oppression, over all mental bondage. So, Father, we thank you that your word says you will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on you. So we bind right now the spirit of depression. We bind all depressive spirits right now in the name of Jesus. All feelings of anxiety, all feelings of confusion. And I want you just to begin to allow the Lord, if any of this stuff touch you, just let the Lord just pull it on out. Just blow it out, cough it out, jump it out, stomp it out. I don't care. Cry it out. Just get it out. Is that all right? Amen. So, Father, we thank you right now that you are healing your people, your precious people, Father God, from all depressive spirits, all low spirits, all spirits of confusion. We bind in Jesus' name. We command them to come out now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of darkness and death, defeatism now, dejection, come on out right now in the mighty name of Jesus. All desolating spirits, all spirits of despair and despondency, destitution, come on out right now in the mighty name of Jesus. All discouragement, come on out of there right now in Jesus' name. We come against disgust, come on out right now in the name of Jesus. All distortion of the mind, fear of failure, come on out now. Feeling down right now, come out right now. Feelings of uselessness, that I cannot be used, it's all over with. Come on out of there right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for delivering your people right now. All grief, all sorrow, all mourning, come on out right now in Jesus' name. All hopelessness, isolating spirit, loneliness, come on out right now in Jesus' name. All rejection, come on out of there in Jesus' name. All feeling of sadness and self-pity, come on out right now in the name of Jesus. All self-rejection and self-hatred, come out right now in Jesus' name. And I also take authority over the spirit of suicide in the mind in Jesus' name. Whether it's emotional suicide, come on out of there right now. Emotional suicide, come on out right now in Jesus' name. All emotional suicide, mental suicide, come on out of there right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, all feelings of uselessness, come on out, and worthlessness, come on out of there now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you now that you are delivering your people from bitterness, from spirits of complaining. Come on, come on out, come on, come on out of there right now. Murmuring spirit, come on out in Jesus' name. Critical spirit, come on out right now. All insecurity, come on out right now in the name of Jesus. Spirits of disobedientness and rebellion, come on out right now. Pull your people out, Father, in Jesus' name. All feelings of dysfunction, come on out right now. The feeling of being unloved, come on out right now in Jesus' name. Hatred of authority, come on out of there right now in the name of Jesus. Come on out now in Jesus' name. Come on out right now. That independent spirit, come on out right now in the name of Jesus. That lashing out demon, come on out of there. Come on out right now. Come on out. Come on out right now. The feeling that you got to get even, come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We come against misbehavior right now. Negative attitudes, negative speech, negative thoughts, opposing spirits, come on out now. All pride, all rebellion, come on out right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you now. All stubbornness, come on out now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All unsubmissive spirits, come on out of there. Come on out right now. Come on out. All unteachable spirit, come on out right now. Come on, come on. I can hear the rattling. Come on out. Blow these things out right now. Cough them out. Come on. Up and out right now. Up and out
We praise you right now for deliverance right now. We come against all anxiety, anguishment of spirit, brokenhearted mind, soul, and body. We come against fatigue right now. All fatigue, leave now in Jesus' name. Mind control, come on out of there. Come on out right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Every chokehold demon, come on out. Come on out. We arrest you now. We call you up and out right now in Jesus' name. That one around your larynx, around your throat, you feel like you're being gagged, loose now. Come on out of there right now in the name of Jesus. Come on out, up and out, up and out, up and out. All resentment, come on, come on, come on, up and out right now in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. All of it, all of it, all of it. Deaf spirits, come on out. Every spirit of death, leave now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for wholeness. We thank you, God, that you came to set us free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In the name of Jesus, we pray right now. Even arthritic conditions, somebody on the back, where your back is all messed up because of arthritis, is bitterness. We come against bitterness, the brokenness of the spine. Come on now. In Jesus' name, it's not a physical brokenness, but it's spirit. It's a spiritual thing. And I pray right now, Father God, that you bring healing, that you bring deliverance right now over your people in their lives, Father God, in Jesus' name. Every tormenting spirit in the sleep, in the dream realm, in Jesus' name, we bind the enemy. I bind incubus spirit. I bind succubus spirit. I bind the vampire spirit in the name of Jesus. We take authority over you now. Get out of the people of God's dream life in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for life and that more abundantly. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All witchcraft spirit be gone. Be loose from the people of God. Off of their mind. Off of their eyes. Off of their eyes. Off of their nose. Off of their ears. In the name of Jesus. Off of their speech. Come on out of there right now. In Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we appreciate you now for everything that you're doing for your people. Thank you for the peace of God. Thank you for rest tonight. And every demon that's yet hiding, we call you out. And Father, help your people to totally release everything that's not like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.